This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. Brian Curtis and Juliet Solly. And Francis Jung is our guest, rate strategist at OCBC Bank. So it seems like one of the driving forces, Francis, is rising Treasury yields. So it seems like every day we're hitting new levels. And it really takes us back to the global financial crisis. The yield on the two-year here, just under 4.60%. This is obviously supporting the dollar, and that is suppressing a lot of currencies in the Asia Pacific. In terms of the strong dollar, what's the biggest impact we're seeing in Asia at the moment?
Hi, Brian and Juliet. Yeah, as the Fed has been hiking aggressively and likely to continue to do so, we have the subsequent compression in yield differentials between treasuries and a lot of the local currency bonds here in Asia. And that would apparently have an impact of foreign exchange. The compression of yield itself, on a more positive note, reflects the resilience of a lot of these local currency bonds for domestic reasons. However, I think there is a limit as to how much further these local currency bonds can outperform. So that also, of course, would have an implication on FX funds. For example, we have seen a lot of outflows from various of these local currency bonds, including those from Indonesia, for some months from Malaysia, also very subdued inflows into CGBs in China, etc. So that would also have an implication on central bank. How much regional central banks can resist to hike rates, right? Partly depend on their balance of payment. But taking a step back, there is also actually an orthodox argument, more normal conventional argument to be made on the inflation front. A weak currency, because of the strong dollar, will add to imported inflation. And this argument is particularly strong this time around because of the supply side driven inflation. So that may also require a monetary response. So in the region, the Bank of Korea is the first mover, while we are also monitoring the Bank of Thailand and Bank Negara Malaysia, because both are on the dovish side. So there may be some catch up to play.
What about when it comes to China, which is on the other side, as we know, and we're expecting further monetary easing there? We may get some kind of relaxation. We're talking about the reduced quarantine. But how does the divergence in monetary policy kind of really play out in Asia?
China has, I think, together with Japan, is kind of the exception in this global central bank hawkishness. China has always been running its policies, paying more attention to domestic development. Sticking to the zero COVID policy may actually mean even more needs for support to the economy. One way is to promote credit, which in turn will promote economic activity. As such, monetary policy in China is on an easing bias. However, there are many tools and combinations that these tools that China can deploy. So thus far, measures appear to focus more on quantity rather than outright interest rate cut. So despite the easing bias, renminbi interest rates are trading in ranges and are not really falling that much. In this environment, that is good enough because you have a stable domestic interest rates, but rising dollar rates. So yield compressions is still there in the Chinese market. But the implication is a bit two-folded because now US dollar rates have come to such a high level that although in China there is a stable interest rate environment, which should be favorable for bond because bond prices are not expected to drop much, the yield differentials is a major factor. It's not appealing in the first place. It's not appealing enough maybe to outweigh the advantage from a more stable interest rate environment. So overall, a strong comeback of bond inflows into the Chinese market is still not in sight.
Yeah. Let's talk about Japan a little bit. It's a very interesting story in that we saw a 3% inflation print today. Of course, that's not quite the same when you look at stripping out energy and food. But in any case, headline number at 3%, I guess in some ways, that's a little bit of success there in bringing back inflation, although maybe more to do with global conditions than policies at home. But the yield curve control, if they were to think of this as a partial victory, is there any chance that they would relax the yield curve control policy? And would that allow yields to go up and would support the currency? But what would the other impact be on other nations?
Yeah, I think the yield compression is the most obvious in the JGB and Treasury part. And I would say, of course, you cannot have the best of both worlds. So if you stick with the yield curve control, then of course that would have the implication on the yen as well. And thus far, we haven't really sensed that there is an urgency for them to remove that. And even they have come to a point the decision to try to consider doing something to the YCC. I would expect the exit strategy to be a very tough one because now Treasury yields and global yields have run so far ahead of the JGB yield already. Do they just remove it one-off or they adjust upward the yields, etc.? If they adjust upward the target, the market will just expect like instantly test the upper band of the new band. So that's really a very tough decision. But it seems in the very near term, the BOJ rhetoric seems to be really sticking to that.
Singapore saying they're monitoring what's happening in the UK very closely. There's many people, probably yourself included, that have their pension funds in pounds here in Singapore as well. What are we seeing, though, in terms of the strength of the Singapore dollar, and what's the outlook as the MAS continues to tighten?
And the MAS at the latest meeting, they recentered upward. However, they kept the slope of the Sing Dollar near unchanged. So that has an implication for Sing Dollar rates. But we have to take note of the different dynamics in the Sing Dollar policy versus all other interest rate policies. Normally, when the Fed or other central bank they hike rates, right, the impact is straightforward. You have higher interest rates. However, in the Sing Dollar market, like the latest one with the unchanged slope, we think that is less hawkish than expected. And less hawkish would actually mean higher Sing Dollar rates. It might sound strange through the FX swap dynamic, but let's put it more intuitively. So if the MAS is more hawkish, then you expect Sing Dollar to appreciate against a basket that would have some spillover on dollar Sing as well. Then you will be more willing to hold Sing Dollar, right, in a slightly lower interest rate than otherwise. So now with the MAS seems to be getting a bit less hawkish, we expect Sing Dollar rates to rise more closely with dollar rates.
Francis, thank you so much for joining us. Francis Cheung, rate strategist at OCBC Bank.